All right, welcome, folks. We have an emergency update out of Florida from two individuals. One, his name is Steve. He's joining us from a group called Strategic Response Partners. We'll talk about their website, but they respond to hurricanes and other natural disasters with first responders, various teams to help save lives and help save property as well. We're also joined by Tina from the Satellite Phone Store. Her organization has been lending and in some cases giving out satellite communications devices to first responders that are and also helping private citizens use sat phones to reach loved ones because all the cell towers are down, or at least in certain areas they are, and the power grid is down. So welcome both of you to this quick update interview. Thank you for taking the time. I know you're busy, but thanks for the time here. But Tina, go ahead and give us a description of this is the day after Hurricane Ian. What does it look like? Because your offices are in Sarasota. You're on the ground there in Central Florida. What does it look like?
Yeah, it's I think we're all still in shock. I think even the governor is in shock. Nobody saw this coming. It's just been very, very, very devastating. Mike, we're still like trying to figure this out ourselves because, as you said, our office is there. Thankfully, thank God, our office building was safe. We had some first responders go there this morning and reported to us that there were no floods or any damage that was done to our property. So, I don't know
I'm sorry to interrupt, but what does the damage look like in the areas, other areas that you've seen?
Yeah, so the other areas, anything just north of downtown Sarasota, what we can see as far as us driving around and trying to figure out, there's absolutely no cell service. And then the rest of Sarasota is extremely, extremely spotty as far as communication. And then as far as devastation, for me, it looks like an atomic bomb was just dropped there in so many areas that are completely wiped out.
And like what areas have you been through that look like a bomb was dropped on them? What can you name some of the towns or cities?
Naples and areas in Naples and Fort Myers, Venice, and pretty much a lot of the southern where the storm, the eye of the storm, had entered.
So power grid is down and cell service is down in most of those areas.
It's pretty much, I think, in some of the areas, I believe they said like 98% of the power is down. So people are without power unless they have generators. Obviously, as you know, in Florida, the humid. So it's pretty difficult being without power in
yes.
Florida, and not having communication is just as equal. It's just very, very devastating.
Let me bring in Steve on this. Steve, thank you for taking the time to join us here and appreciate what you are doing. What have you seen on the ground and what areas have you been in?
Okay, well, we rode the storm out last night in Northport. And there was a building that we always size up buildings when we're going into an area where the eye is going to pass over. So we want to be at ground zero. The building was built a year and a half ago. It was built to Cat 5 standards, and we had to secure the doors. The doors blew open. We had to tie things down with tow straps, everything from the roof hatches to the exterior doors, and actually fasten them and actually screw them into the wall. So we basically had to shut them down. We were responsible for about 90 people in a hotel that was being anchored in that area. So there were some medical emergencies that showed up last night that we tended to right away. Everything from split, major cuts right to the bone, all kinds of stuff. So it was good to have our team of paramedics there. A lot of the guys, lieutenants.
Was that from, sorry to interrupt, but was that stuff from blowing debris or people injuring themselves?
Debris, and simple things is a wet tile floor.
Right.
You know? So
right.
People don't understand of all the stuff that goes on in this type of stuff. There's the stress level goes up. One of the bumpiest rides, and I've heard about hurricanes since Hurricane Andrew. And last night was one of the worst, because when the eye wall came over and it ripped right alongside that hotel, there was about 2 hours you could see nothing. There was no way that a human being could stand outside. And here's the part that many people don't understand. They go outside to think it's exciting.
Can you say that again? We're having some comms difficulty. Can you start over? They go outside and then what?
And what they don't realize is the projectiles. There was a building sign that had fragmented, you know, the plexiglass.
Yes.
And those pieces were flying across and literally sticking themselves into the stucco. That's like a missile or a bullet that can go right through anybody's flesh and take a person out. You know, so when Absolutely. You see people doing that type of stuff, it's just and when they're told to evacuate, here's the thing. And I've warned companies and people when we're doing these disaster planning stuff, is when you get the evacuation orders, expect the unexpected. Get out, stay in a safe zone, right? And the other part is Lee County's electrical system completely got wiped out. So the hurricane came on shore at Cape Coral. And it just leveled properties, decimated a lot of the properties, took out the entire electrical grid. And it could be up to 2 weeks because of, you know, supply chain shortages, electrical component shortages, labor shortages to get this grid up and going. But if anybody's up for this type of task, I have to say, I'm from California, and it would be very different there. But I think Governor DeSantis is definitely one guy that if anyone can get the job done, he's going to get it done. I mean, this is one guy that I feel has got the leadership skills to assist in this recovery effort.
Yeah,
really moving a lot of equipment in pretty quickly.
I think most of our listeners would agree with you. DeSantis is doing a phenomenal job so far and getting help to people, but there's a lot of work yet to come. I just want to remind our listeners that the audio connections here are not very good because of the storms. Normally we would have our guests joined by a bandwidth using a headset or a microphone, but in this case, they're calling in over some cell towers that are on the periphery of this. And there are some glitches, so just bear with us, but the comms are just not very good.
One thing that I want to share is that in that zone, the only things that are working are the sat phones. And I mean, this has been 16 years that I've worked with a team at the satellite phone store. And every time we go in, we have our own sat phones that we own, but we rent a whole bank of sat phones that we give the risk managers, facility managers. We were down at the EOC this morning in Charlotte, you know, Port Charlotte area, handing out phones to some of the other first responders as a courtesy so that they can actually call their loved ones and connect with people outside those zones. Because some of those guys are on lockdown for the next 3 weeks and they have zero comms on outside that area because a lot of them are not given sat phones. So,
right.
I don't know. I can't talk highly enough about it, but if you're going to go and be in any type of stuff in that cone of silence, that is the only communication systems we have is the sat phones and the text messaging through the bivvy sticks, which has been excellent because sometimes you can't get that satellite signal. There's a cloud cover and somehow the bivvy stick happens to pick it up. So I don't know.
Yeah, the bivvy sticks,
you know, redundancy.
Right. They have a real low bandwidth requirement. So they actually work even better in poor weather. So Tina, you also texted me earlier today saying that some of my listeners who had acquired sat phones and bivvy sticks previously, they were contacting you and just really praising your company for getting them this. I mean, they're paying customers, but because of that, they're able to call their family members or even let their neighbors borrow the phones and so on. Can you tell us a little bit about the stories you're hearing coming out of Florida from people who do have satellite communications, how it's helping them right now?
Yeah, so we kind of looked in our database to see what customers we have in the area, and we sent them text messages that were giving them free minutes to allow all of their friends and families and neighbors make outgoing calls, because a lot of people are calling us and saying, you know, how do I get a hold of somebody there? What can we do? Can you get a phone there? So we're trying to do everything that we can. So we're offering minutes to our customers that do have sat phones so that they can give their sat phones out to friends and families. And we also noticed a lot of the customers are using them, and they know that they have accumulated a lot of rollover minutes. So we noticed that a lot of people are also doing that as well. And we're getting a lot of respond back from customers that by text messages and by to myself and to my employees through Bibby sticks and through their satellite phones that they can't believe that this phone actually came in handy. And they've been, you know, they've had it for 5 years or 6 years, some people, and they're amazed that this one time it's actually been a lifesaver for them.
Yeah.
The Bibby stick, as you said, Mike, did work really well. I know my employees that live in Venice and in, I have employees that live in Venice and employees that live in Fort Myers. And the only way that they can communicate during the hurricane even was through the Bibby stick, because you can't go outside with a sat phone, but you put the Bibby stick by a window and they have connection. So the whole time we were in communication to make sure that they were okay. One of our employees went there to stay with his grandma and grandpa, and their house got flooded, so they needed to find another place real quick. And so they went to the neighbor's house, and now after the hurricane, they're allowing the whole neighborhood to contact and communicate with their friends and family to let them know that they're through the Bibby stick and through the satellite phone. So yeah,
see, that's
these things just come in handy.
Absolutely. This is why we partnered with your company, Tina. Just so people know, Satellite Phone Store is a sponsor of our platform and has been for quite some time. And this is exactly why, because when the grid fails and the cell towers fail and you need help or you need to let people know that you're okay, this is the only way to do it. It's satellite phones and Bibby sticks. Tina, one other question real quick, but you've been out of satellite phones in terms of allowing retail purchases for quite some time. Do you still have Bibby sticks though in inventory? Are you able to actually get them to people if they buy them today? Or what about sat phones? When do you get more phones?
So yes, so we do have emergency phones that we always keep for emergencies. No matter what happened, we did not go into that stash, because we always, and I think in almost all of my interviews, I always say that we keep certain amount of phones for first responders in case something ever happened in the U.S. And this is the time that we are taking out our emergency phones. We have about 1,000 of them, and we've already deployed about 500 before the hurricane. We also have internet units that we are deploying as well. In the next 10 days or so, we're probably going to get pretty busy. Everyone that's going to go down to, you know, from insurance companies and first responders and other companies, hospitals are going to have a need for these. So, yes, so we do have for first responders. Okay. We also have quite a few Bibbies still left. And recognizing now with this storm that the Bibby came in handy, we are having an offer. What we did this morning is we decided to bring the price down just for this emergency from $59 to just $55. And the Bibby is still for free. So we are.
Okay, that's a monthly fee, I take it. That's monthly?
Yeah. Yeah, the monthly fee will just be the $55 for unlimited. And this way we'll be able to give people something if we do run out of the satellite phone.
Okay, so right now people could, if someone listening has a family member in Florida that they could get something to, they could buy a Bibby stick, get that to them, and then that, I mean, you still have Bibby sticks for sale right now.
Right, and some satellite phones as well.
Okay, all right, the website, folks, for that is sat123.com. Now, Steve, getting back to you, your company, the company that you're with, Strategic Response Partners, I just want to understand the context since this is the first time we've spoken. So do corporations like hotels, do they hire your firm to come in and handle these emergency situations? Is that how it works?
That's how it works, yeah. So we work as private contractors. So a lot of times logistics centers, hospitals, assisted living facilities, ports, airports, places that can't go down. right? So, for example, on one of the things, the hospital director's walking a roof with me, and I handed him the sat phone so he could check in with his family, right?
Right.
Then we got multiple calls because once the winds got to about 45 miles an hour and more, EMS was no longer showing up. So we're in charge of the private contract on the life safety side of it. So then we did a bunch of proof of life, you know, where people can't get a hold of their 80-year-old mother who was in Fort Myers flooded, right? In Bonita Springs right now, where several of my guys that are part of the USAR task force are actually going through there and searching homes for bodies, right? Gee. Or proof of life, you know, if somebody's made it through the storm or didn't make it through the storm.
Right.
And so I can't tell you the feeling of to be able to hand them the sat phone so that they can call their daughter, you know what I mean? And say, hey, you know, I'm okay. That alone is just gratifying. It's like, hey, we found your mom. She's fine. She made it to her neighbor's house. Yeah, they were standing on top of the kitchen counter. You know what I mean? One was a husband and wife with a 9-month-old baby, you know? So, you know, these type of stories and interactions with these people are like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it really underscores the importance of communications in our modern time. But what about fatalities? Because I believe one of the sheriffs, I think, I don't know which county, but I think he had estimated that there were going to be at least hundreds of fatalities from this storm. Okay. Of course, that hasn't been confirmed yet, but it's still early. What are your thoughts on the subject?
I think he's accurate about that.
Okay.
Look, I've been doing this for a little over 30 years. I've handled over 14,000 projects, right? I can't tell you. I have close friends that are on the Coast Guard, and the amount of body bags that they're stacking and moving. My experience, and this is even in working from municipalities and talking with one of the mayors in the prior storm, the amount of body bags that were in the morgue, a lot of them unaccounted for. The numbers that were shown on TV and the numbers that we physically saw were two different numbers. You know, I'm not, right. I always do with what I know and what I see.
So I take it you're implying that what you saw with your own eyes was a larger number than what you saw on TV.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're
multiple storms.
They're trying to get prepared for this, but there's also, you know, there's exposure after this. So there's heat exposure. There's also going to be mold growing inside a lot of facilities if they don't have power. Talk to us about post-strike emergencies that your firm deals with.
Yep. So a lot of time people want to go into their homes and say, oh, yeah, they're the survivor mentality. It's kind of a PTSD kind of dealing with trauma, right? They go in, look at the property. We just had a little bit of water, ran across the floor, maybe a couple of inches, and we're fine. They sweep it out, throw some wet rugs out, and they think they're fine. The next day, it starts to smell a little musty. The third day, like a moldy smell, and like little fuzz start to grow on furniture, on clothes, and whatever. That's bacteria. You touch it, you shave, you get a staph infection all over your face. You know, you get respiratory issues. You're living in a sick building. So right. It needs to be properly moisture mapped. It needs to have an environmental consultant write up a protocol. Then you have to hire a remediation contractor to go remediate the stuff. Then you have the environmental consultant come back in and provide a clearance that it's clean and safe to reenter, that it's contaminant-free, mold-free. The biggest battle out of all of this, and this is dealing with this my whole life, the biggest disaster after the disaster is the insurance companies. They don't like to pay claims. They like people to do it themselves, right? And they want to people to patch it and put it back together. It's all about money. They're about collecting premiums, not paying claims. So that's always a disaster after the disaster. So documenting it properly, hiring the right vendors to do the work. And again, I don't do residential, but if some of your callers wanted referrals, I could give them the companies that I know have done always an optimum job, right? That are not on a so-called insurance preferred list, which is like going to an HMO doctor who really wants to kind of bandage it up, not really fix the problem. I'm hoping to, you know, to guide them in that way. But our stuff is commercial, large. You know, we've done.
Well, let me ask you this. Your audio is pretty spotty, by the way. If there's anything you can do, Oh, I'm sorry. You were cutting out there.
Yeah.
If there's anything you can do to improve, your reception, please do that.
Yeah, it's really tough down here. I'm right in the just outside the little zone right there. And it's just, the clouds are passing. So it's sketchy.
Okay. Understood. One more question for you, Steve, then in terms of rebuilding these communities, the supply chain ever since COVID, the supply chain for everything from lumber, electrical parts, plumbing parts and everything, the supply chain's been hit hard. Well, with this, how can rebuilding even happen in these communities when many of the parts were hard to get, 2 days ago? Now they're going to be impossible in that region, it would seem. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, roofing material, lumber, all kinds of material for rebuilding is been a challenge. On some of the stuff, especially on the commercial, it's 8 months to a year out. Shingles, probably like 4 to 6 months, maybe a little longer. So the best thing people can do, if you ask me, is there's a shrink wrap product. It's 12 mil product. You shrink wrap your roof, lasts up to a year. You can go get bids. You can argue with your insurance company, and you can slowly work through that process. That's going to be the best form on that aspect of it for roofing. But everything else, yeah. So here's what you have. You have the economy. You have COVID, right? That people got hit with businesses being shut down. Then you get a disaster scenario. So a lot of businesses that were already struggling, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. This is where they just decide to throw in the towel. And this 80% statistically of businesses never reopen after a major disaster. Compound that with the economy, supply chain, material, labor shortages, and what happened in COVID, man, this is just going to take another big hit on the people's lives. Big stressors.
So do you happen to know any statistics about what percent of people just never return to the area, just migrate out?
I don't know the stats to that. But every area that's been hit over the years up until this point has gotten progressively worse, where communities are having a harder time recovering.
Yeah.
Insurance companies are paying less. The premiums are going higher. There's less coverage, which means the owners, they're transferring some more and more of the risk off the higher deductibles onto the insured, the property owner. And it's making it harder and harder. So some people just take the insurance money and say, you know what? I'm going to go rebuild somewhere else or buy another property and be done with this hurricane zone. Yeah,
right.
I see it happen. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to be mindful of your time, Steve. If you need to go, go ahead. I'm going to continue with questions for Tina, but thank you for spending time with us.
Yeah, sounds great. Be safe out there. And if anything else comes up, feel free to reach out. And if you go to YouTube, Strategic Response Partners, do a quick search, you'll see some of the past storms. And then you'll see, I'll share footage with you if you want privately as well.
Okay. All right, we'll do that. And I think I have your number too. And feel free to reach out to me with any updates that you think are important for us to pass on to the public.
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks. Appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. So, Tina, are you still there?
I am.
Okay. So, Tina, a question to you. You actually called me a week ago and you told me, you said you had a really bad feeling about this hurricane. That's when no one had even really heard about it. You saw this coming and, it turned out that your feeling was exactly correct, but you were able to take some steps. Can you tell us what, your company being in Sarasota, what did you do that was effective for weathering this storm?
Yeah. So we were prepared. So we got, our employees that were in the zone, it's got hotel rooms ahead of time. Later on, all the hotels were booked. And then the storm took a turn. So then they had to cancel because they didn't need to. The storm was just crazy because it was meant to go to Tampa. And then it was going to go to the Panhandle. And then the last minute, it made a turn and it went into the Fort Myers, Naples area.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, the track was just, it was like, it would stop and it would turn to the right and then it would go there and then it would stop. And then that's the craziest storm track I've ever seen.
Yeah, all of these hurricane experts, this storm proved them all wrong. because nobody had it right. Even till the end, because I went to Orlando and then it was supposed to hit Orlando and then it, and then, you know, I was watching the news. It was supposed to hit Orlando and it's going to get us in 6 hours. And then 2 hours or 3 hours before it reached Orlando, they said, oh, the storm took us out. So it's not going to hit Orlando. So, yeah, it's proven there aren't any experts other than the hurricane itself. It goes where it wants to go, and that's pretty much it. But as far as preparing, we did work a lot with first responders. We did have all the police departments from every department from Orlando all the way down to, you know, as far south as they can go, came in and prepared for their police departments in case there's looting afterward, or so that they had to have communication because no one really knew where it was going. And they were smart enough to know that, hey, this storm can turn and come into my community. So people were really, really prepared as far as what I could see. Southern Florida was very prepared with their emergency fire departments, the cities themselves. Go ahead.
From what you've seen then, in terms of the preparedness level of the community for this, it seems like from what you're describing that Florida is doing a great job in handling this. The people of Florida and let's say the local governments and, you know, even the private industry and so on. It seems like people are doing extraordinarily well given the circumstances. Would that be an accurate statement?
That is. And I'm really impressed also with the amount of people that are staying home, doing what they're told. There are debris everywhere. It's so dangerous to go out. There are trees everywhere. There's live wires everywhere.
Oh, live wires. Yeah, there's a bonus round right there. Gee.
Yeah. So people are listening. The police are doing a really good job. And the people in Florida, they're so amazing. And this is really saddens me where, especially the area that hit, there's a lot of retirees. And it's just, that's, you know, for me, you know, I imagine my mom, and my mom lives in San Diego, and I just imagine my mom being there and being in that situation. I don't even know what I would do or she would do. And it's just really very, very sad to see what is happening.
Yeah, the humanity side of this, it is critical to understand. There are a lot of elderly folks in Florida, retirees, as you said. And right now, a lot of people are simply sitting and waiting for the power lines to get fixed and the cell towers to get fixed and so on. And in the meantime, people have to be living on their stored food, using their water filters, you know, using their satellite comms like we talked about, and basically just hunkering down until infrastructure comes back. And that could be days, it could be weeks. And it just underscores the importance of being ready for all of this at all times.
Yeah, I think preppers are going to do pretty good in this. I think it's the people that don't prepare that are going to be hurt the most.
Sure.
But preppers have communication, they have food, water, stored flashlight, candles, all the essential products that you need to be prepared. This isn't going to be fixed in a day or two or even a week or two. I think just being here, I just can't see this being cleaned up for at least a month or two. Communication may come back in about 2 weeks or so, but the rest is going to take a little bit more time. As far as communication, Mike, we are going to have 1,000 phones coming in from Inmarsat. They finally got some phones in. They're not coming in until the end of the month of October. Unfortunately, it's not going to help with this hurricane. But we are going to run one more special while we have them, Mike, that we are going to give them for free. People can call in and pre-order.
Oh,
and
okay.
And then once they're gone. So they can call in and pre-order. It is $99.95 a month for 150 minutes with the rollover and everything else that we were doing before the supply shortage came up where we couldn't get these phones. Yeah, if you recall,
this is huge. I'm sorry to interrupt, but folks, the satellite phone store hasn't had sat phones for a long time. So this, you're talking about 1,000 phones, right? That's what you're going to get coming in.
Yeah. So 1,000 more of those iSats. You recall I had ordered 50,000 of them at the beginning of the year. And then that's when I got the news about March that I wasn't going to get any. And now until later in the year, and now they're telling me that out of the 50,000, I'm going to get 1,000 of them.
Okay.
So we're still going to have that promotion. Yeah.
The website, folks, is sat123.com if you want to pre-order one of those sat phones that's coming in. And also, Tina, while I have you here, by chance, before this storm hit, was your company able to send out those 15 bivy sticks that I'm getting to the Border Patrol operator people in Texas?
Those were not sent out yet, but they will be sent out. Yeah, they will be sent out because of the storm.
Mike. Well, I figured. I mean, just do it whenever you can. But I mean, take care of yourself and everybody else first. I just wonder if I should expect that because I got. I mean, think about all the crises we have. You know, we have this border open, wide open border, millions of illegal aliens flooding in, and then we got this hurricane. We've got, you know, war with Russia, high risk of that breaking out. And, you know, what do all these things have in common? People need to communicate. And satellite is the only reliable way to do that, as we're finding out, you know, with the storm and down at the border, they don't even have cell towers. Sat phones and bivy sticks, that's the only way they're able to communicate. There's nothing else.
Right, right. And obviously now, you know, getting these text messages from all these customers, you know, that have purchased them because of you and thought, well, I haven't used this thing. And the time that they were able to communicate with their friends and family, I'm sure their families are very happy that they were able to connect and let them know that they're okay. Because that's got to be the worst feeling in the world is having your children or your mom or dad or, you know, anyone there and not knowing if they're okay. It's got to be the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's really, really good to have.
One more question. I know you used to have a lot of supply of the EcoFlow solar generators and power stations. You just told me before we started this recording that those are completely sold. Everybody needs them in Florida right now. They've wiped out your inventory. Now I use those devices as well here in Texas, and with solar panels, people can keep all their phones charged and laptops and cell phones, small electronics and so on. You can even run with the larger EcoFlow units. You can even run blenders. You can make a smoothie. You can even run a small freezer off of it. Although that does take, you know, it can take like 400 watts or whatever. You're going to need some big solar panels to gather that. But when do you have some more EcoFlow units coming in?
Yeah, so today we're going to ship some from San Diego office to Sarasota. So people can still purchase them as long as you're not in Florida, because we can't do any deliveries in Florida right now. I don't know when the airports will open up. I don't know when FedEx will be working again in the area, or UPS or any delivery agency.
Yes.
I'm imagining that's probably going to take a few days before that happens. So outside of Florida, you can order and they will be delivered, because our San Diego office still has them. Our Florida office completely got wiped out of all the generators during just before the storm. I think people recognized that they were going to lose their power and got them. And we'll be getting some more, and we're going to ship some from San Diego to our Sarasota office. So we should have them by mid next week where people can walk in and purchase them.
Okay. All right. That's great to know. And by the way, Tina, I'm so grateful for you and your company and what you do. I'm really honored that you're a sponsor partner with Brighteon, because together we've been able to get this hardware into the hands of many, many thousands of people over the last year. And it's saving lives and helping people right now. And thank you for planning ahead and having all this, making it available to our people.
Thank you, Mike. It's actually in the hurricane area, the people that purchased is about 1,500. So there are 1,500 people in Naples, in Sarasota County, and in Fort Myers and Venice and Nokomis and other areas that were devastated that do have satellite communication because they listened on your program.
Wow. Wow, I didn't know that. 1,500 people in the impacted area. Well, that's 1,500 people that can help their neighbors call their loved ones too, you know? That's amazing.
That's right. Yeah, that is absolutely, you're absolutely right. Yep. So thank you so much.
These solutions really do matter, folks. And I think the overriding lesson here, and I'll let you go, Tina. I know you've got to be overwhelmed with demands on your time right now. But folks, the lesson is prepare before the storm. And this hurricane hit, there's a bigger storm coming. We think, you know, a bigger world war, a bigger economic storm, power grid, cyber attacks, all kinds of things. The time to prepare is before the storm is on the radar. And for most of you across America, that time is now. For Florida, they're going to have to recover to get back to where they can even receive shipments. I mean, think about that. But Tina, thank you for all of your time, and God bless you for all that you're doing. Just thank you for helping to keep people in communication with their loved ones and helping the first responders, helping people on the ground. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. And God bless you too, Mike.
All right. You too, Tina. Take care. All right. That was Tina there from the Satellite Phone Store. Folks, sat123.com. If you want to get on their list to buy one of their sat phones that's coming in that we just learned about, or the bivy sticks they have available, and they have some of the solar generators out of their San Diego office right now. But the time to do this is now, or if you have family or friends in Florida, you might be able to get it to them in person. You could order it, take delivery, and then perhaps get it to them, and they could communicate via the bivy stick right now, even while waiting for the power grid to come back on. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for listening. God bless America, and God bless Florida and all the resilient Floridians who are rebuilding right now. We pray for your safety, and we pray for you to recover as quickly as possible. Thank you for listening, folks. Mike Adams here, naturalnews.com, and also brighteon.com. Take care.